are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hey, what is up? I am Jeff Garcia, your host right here at Locked On Spurs. Glad to have you back. Hope you're having a good work week. Man, you're really feeling this, the Spurs offseason, aren't you? I know I am. It feels like a drag so far. But hey, at least the NBA playoffs have been very exciting. There's even been a handful of blowout games. But hey, at least there's looking forward to that. What are we doing today? We're going to be talking about, our guest, Michael Jimenez of San Antonio Sports Star, sent out a tweet that set the Spurs world on fire about Luka Šamanić. Why was it important for him to mention what happened with that pick? He's going to explain himself. And also, we're going to play a game of buy and sell with Michael Jimenez. Mike, welcome back to Locked On Spurs, buddy.
Hey, thank you for having me back, my man.
Man, you love to stir the pot, don't you, with Spurs fans?
I wasn't even trying to. What? I just made a comment, a seven-word tweet that went viral, got on fire, if you will. And
I couldn't believe it. I didn't think that would happen.
You know, it's funny because I think I picked at an old wound. I picked at a skin.
You definitely did.
That had not healed yet.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I guess because of this rebuild, you know, Šamanić was basically a lightning rod. Like, it was like when he was a Spur, you were either a pro or anti Šamanić. There was no in the middle. And that caused a lot of battles. But yeah, before we dive into that, make sure to follow Michael on Twitter at MikeESPNSA and check out his show Halftime Monday through Friday right there at San Antonio Sports Star. It's a good show. It's a great show. I like to call it a variety show, Mike. Is that a good description of it? A nice variety show.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it different because a lot of sports talk shows right now are, you know, wall-to-wall, 100% sports, and you'll find that my show is maybe only about 60% sports. The rest of it, we dive into pop culture. We do, you know, nostalgic things, music and stuff like that, movie reviews, nostalgic movie reviews and things like that. It's a fun show. It's different, and that's why, you know, we have other guests that come on, like Rudy J and Carolina League. It's a fun show. It's 12 to 2, Monday through Friday, San Antonio Sports Star.
Let's dive into this. So, in case you were living under a rock, Michael Jimenez, all he did was just put out there on social media about Luka Šamanić, where he was picked, and the players that went after him that were still on the board. And that set the Spurs fan base on fire. A lot of Spurs fans didn't appreciate your tweet, but I liked it because to me, Michael, this was just, hey, a lesson to be learned that the Spurs are not infallible when it comes to selecting talent, as many think they can when it comes to the NBA draft. And it looks like we lost Michael Jimenez. Hopefully he'll be right back. But basically, Michael just, yeah, he put it out there saying that. We got him back. All right. So, Michael, now that we got you back, I like the fact that you did put that out there on social media because it's a reminder that the Spurs, when it comes to the draft, they're not infallible. They make mistakes.
Yeah, most definitely. And all teams do, you know, the Spurs being one of them. I think that a lot of Spurs fans think that, you know, that we strike lightning every single year and can get a good pick whenever we pick at 19 or 20 or 28, 29 or wherever the Spurs pick, that the Spurs will always do a good job. But the thing is that the Spurs whiff from time to time, just like any other team, okay? I think right now the Spurs are probably the second best team in the NBA when it comes to drafting. I think the only team that does a better job over the years has been Golden State. But aside from that, I just made the point out there that, you know, there were good players that the Spurs passed on to get Luka Šamanić. And the one that I brought up was the fact that it was Jordan Poole. I posted a photo of Jordan Poole and I said, the Spurs passed on Jordan Poole for Luka Šamanić. And that was the entirety of the tweet right there. Because back in the day, we were always talking about the fact that, oh, well, it didn't matter. The 2019 draft was, you know, at least the Spurs got Keldon Johnson at 29, but there was like nobody else out there. But as things have unfolded, we've seen that Luka Šamanić crashed and burned and the Spurs got rid of him. But then now you're looking at those who are drafted around 20 to 30. You're seeing some really good players out of there. Matisse Thybulle, who's a defensive wizard. You know, Brandon Clark, who's balling in the playoffs right now. You see players like Nick Claxton, who does very well with the Brooklyn Nets. And there's other players out there that were available along the way. And one of them happened to be also Jordan Poole, who was, I believe, fourth in Most Improved Player of the Year, averaged 17 points per game this year, has been doing well. He's the third Splash brother. And I kind of mentioned that, you know, he was also on the board when the Spurs picked Luka Šamanić. And I asked the question on halftime, was that the worst first round draft pick in Spurs history? And I went back in time and I took a look at all the draft picks.
There were a few more. Yeah.
I would vote this one as being the second worst of all time. I think the worst one of all time is still when the Spurs drafted Al Frederick Hughes in the 80s.
That was a major.
And Joe DeMars was on the board.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
There were a lot of solid NBA vets, a couple of Hall of Famers that were available. The one pick before Al Frederick Hughes, oddly enough, was Karl Malone. So the Spurs didn't whiff on him, but it just shows you Karl Malone was drafted one spot ahead of Al Frederick Hughes. But it's interesting to go back in time and look at it. The thing about Luka Šamanić, though, was that it was a whiff at a time when the Spurs did not need a whiff. And it's a sore spot for a lot of Spurs fans. And I was just being tongue-in-cheek about it all because when it came to Jordan Poole, I was like, man, this guy just kind of came out of nowhere. And I started reading up on him, and I was like, wait a minute. The 2019 draft, didn't the Spurs have two first-rounders? And I'm thinking to myself, Jordan Poole must have been drafted around 12 or 15 because I can't go back that far in my head as to who was drafted in the teens. And I looked and I saw that he was drafted at 28. And I was like, oh, my God, that was one spot up held in. You know, I was having visions of, can you imagine if the Spurs had gotten Jordan Poole at 19 and Keldon at 29? That would have been amazing. But, you know, it didn't happen that way. And I just put out a 7-word tweet and people got pissed.
What I like about it is that the majority of the people that got mad were a bunch of these little kids, little Spurs fans, kids that were born in the dynasty where maybe, you know, picking or getting home runs in the draft didn't matter because you had the big three, you had, you know, somewhat of Kawhi Leonard and LMA and, you know, in that era. And now here's a rebuild and Šamanić was part of it, was drafted, you know, when in the early stages of the rebuild. And yeah, you know, that's when the Spurs shouldn't be making whiffs. And the Spurs made a whiff with Šamanić. Keldon was there 29. Thank goodness. Salvaged that draft. It was close to being one of the most disastrous drafts for the Spurs in history. But Keldon came in and saved the day. Yeah, these kids, man, these Spurs kids, they need to understand that learning lessons is fine, that you make mistakes. All teams are not infallible when it comes to the draft. Portland, you know, imagine they had just said, screw it, we're going to get Michael Jordan. Who cares if we have, Clyde Drexler on board? We got to get him in. Right. You know, and yeah, you know, hindsight is 2020. You get that. I get that. But, you know, this is the team we follow, and this is a team that's in a rebuild, and they cannot be taking on projects like they tried to do with Luka. But I still think it goes back to, you know, how Luka was such a lightning rod early in his career with San Antonio. I mean, it was vicious. Spurs fans would get at each other hardcore. I mean, threats and cussing at each other regarding the future of Šamanić. And now, you know, unfortunately, he is out of the league. He's definitely a G League Hall of Famer, though, Jimenez. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's funny because you look back at Luka Šamanić and we give the Spurs organization the benefit of the doubt because we have five championship rings over the years and whatnot. But we don't know if it's because the player failed. We don't know if it's because the team failed the player. And I think when it comes to Luka, we kind of look at that and think that is the player's fault. Because, I mean, come on, he got cut immediately after failing to go back on defense on a play. He gave up on a play, and that was
bad. Wrong. Yeah.
So we look at Luka Šamanić and think that was the one that we shouldn't have drafted because it was the player's fault, not the team's fault.
But other players drafted in the teens that the Spurs have had over the years would be like Lonnie Walker. And yeah, I don't expect Lonnie Walker to be back with the Spurs next season. So if he doesn't come back, whose fault was that? The development of Lonnie Walker, was that the player's fault or was it the team's fault? I believe it's the team's fault when it came to Lonnie Walker. And I think Lonnie Walker is going to leave the Spurs and go average 16 to 18 points per game, if not more, someplace else. Mm-hmm. And what I don't want is Spurs fans to be there like, oh, well, he's doing so well because the Spurs developed him.
Right.
No, it's because the other team utilized him the way that it works for his strengths. I don't think the Spurs utilized Lonnie Walker in a way that is going to be that was going to be beneficial for him. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, they were out there, you know, playing him 15 minutes one game and then 30 mm-hmm. the next and then sitting him the next. And then he was all over the place. And then when DeMar was here, he didn't get as much run as he should have. Yeah. I don't think he got the consistency or the run that he should have gotten while he was with the team. And then towards the end of this season, they kept him coming off the bench. He was doing well off the bench, but why wasn't he starting towards the end? Lonnie Walker is going to go off average 16 to 18 points per game, book it next year for another team. And again, that's a team failure. That is not a Lonnie Walker failure. And that is most definitely not the Spurs, oh, they just set him up for success in the future. James Pledger just walked into the room and says hi to Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, and then you think about this too with Lonnie. You know, how many minutes did he play in the playing game? What, 14, 15 minutes? That was it?
Yeah.
You know, when you could definitely use his offense when they needed offense throughout the entire game. But, yeah, just goes to show you that sometimes the Spurs make mistakes. And, yes, we get it. Hindsight's 20/20. But this is a team in a rebuild, and you cannot be making these type of mistakes in a team, especially a small market team that doesn't attract free agents, that's not going to bring in big time players. You got to do as best that. You the can.
The Spurs are supposed to have $35 million or more in cap space. Don't tell me that we can't get free agents. Come on, we're supposed to believe that the Spurs are somehow going to get, you know, a stud player in free agency. We're going to get somebody. Who are the ones? Zach LaVine or Jalen Brunson, or we're going to be able to DeAndre Ayton. We're going to go get one of these guys. You're telling me that the Spurs not attract free agents? Then why do we have the cap space?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't see them knocking on the San Antonio's door. Like, can we please play with you guys? We want to come with you. How many times we never see any reports about big name free agent is reportedly meeting with Spurs reports. You rarely see that.
I mean, we had it one time. You know, his name was LaMarcus Aldridge, right? So, I mean, I guess there is a little bit of hope. That was a huge free agent that the Spurs got. But really, the Spurs and
yep, looks like we lost Michael again, but he'll be right back momentarily. Hey, I want to talk to you about Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of a $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes, also something you don't find elsewhere, is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Yeah, that means the polarized lenses, the well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes are going to be protected for you. It includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They'll send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Exclusively for our listeners, head to ShadyRays.com. Use code LOCKEDON to get yourself 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Ray sunglasses, and it's backed by over 150,000 verified star reviews. Once again, go to ShadyRays.com. We are back, and we're hopefully joined by Michael Jimenez. Jimenez, are you there? Yep, looks like he's not there. Well, we'll continue talking here. Let's see if we can bring him back in here. Oh, nope, he's having some tech issues. We're going to go ahead and continue talking right here on Locked On Spurs. And yeah, it looks like hopefully the Spurs can do well in the upcoming draft and not hit a whiff. We're going to play a game buy and sell with Michael Jimenez. We're trying to get him back on the line. And let's see if we can bring him back in. Michael, you there? Nope. Oh, looks like he's probably not there. Well, we'll start it off right here, just you and me, back at the old ways at Locked On Spurs. So the first question we're going to give Michael, we'll give you now. Oh, well, hopefully he's back now. Michael Jimenez, are you back? Looks like he is having some technical issues. Yeah, he's having technical issues here. Let's go ahead and call him real fast. Michael Jimenez, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. And we're still here recording right here at Locked On Spurs. And we're just setting up the next segment, which is called Buy and Sell. And you know how this works, Jimenez. You know, you buying a topic on the Spurs, you're going to sell a topic on the Spurs. So let's dive into it right here. Buy or sell, based off his rookie season, Josh Primo is the real deal.
So far, I'm still buying some stock in that. He was the youngest player in the NBA last season, should have been a freshman in college. He got a lot of run with the Spurs, got a lot of starts towards the end of the season, went back and forth between the Spurs and the JV team out there in Austin. Hit the rookie wall. That was to be expected. He's a young guy out there. But I think I like what I saw from him. And more importantly, we saw him step it up defensively. He's still growing into his body. He's still maturing as a person, as an athlete. So as of right now, I'm buying that he is the real deal. But I don't think it's going to be next year that he takes the leap. It's probably going to be the year after.
I'm right there with you. I do believe I'm buying that he is the real deal, but I think he's going to need more seasoning. He just turned 19. His body is filling out rapidly, so that's a good sign. He's still going to have a growth spurt probably between now and next season, so he's definitely going to get taller and stronger and bigger. We'll definitely like to see his upside. He tore up the G League. He got 13 straight starts for the Spurs, including the play-in, so that's a vote of confidence from Pop. And he got thrown into the fire, and I like that. And yes, did he make a lot of mistakes? Sure, turnovers, getting targeted by defenses or offenses, like going at him, and that's good for his development. We'll definitely see how he pans out moving forward. Here's your next buy or sell question. Buy or sell, the Spurs are going to keep all three draft picks, first-round draft picks.
I'm going to sell that. I'm going to sell that big. Makes no sense when it comes to the salary cap in future years. Makes no sense to what the Spurs have on the roster right now. Technically, the Spurs have five players on the roster right now. They've got three team options. Two of them are going to be no-brainers in Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell. Romeo Langford is also a team option. The Spurs could dump him and recoup that money and spend it elsewhere if they wanted to. But if you add three first-rounders to the team, well, now you're at 10 players, and there's other players out there that have non-guaranteed contracts that the Spurs have on the roster, like Zach Collins, like Jock Landale, Kidd Bates-Diop, Trey Jones, a lot of other players that the Spurs need to fill out the roster with. And what happens if the Spurs need to bring somebody in free agency? Mm-hmm. So that being said, because of that, the odds of the Spurs keeping all three first rounders is probably non-existent. Spurs might actually trade up, maybe package the 220s to the 20 and the 25 to maybe move up to 16 or so. That would be one option. Or maybe try to use one of them to move up from 9 or 10, provided the Spurs do not win the lottery. So no, there's absolutely no way in the world the Spurs are going to keep all three.
I'm right there with you. I suspect the Spurs will be wheeling and dealing come draft day and involving a lot of the picks. Who knows? Maybe some of the players that are, you know, that are still young and maybe show something, and maybe another team out there would want them. You know, you do that. You make that move, whether that is to leap into the top 10 or the top 5 pick. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't think they keep all three. And now if they do, Michael, I would suspect that maybe they would draft for some other team and then just trade that player to them. And, you know, we've seen draft day deals. I think something like that will happen. Next question right here on this buy and sell segment of Locked On Spurs. Is Michael Jimenez buying or selling that if Popovich were to retire, that Quinn Snyder would be a perfect replacement for Popovich?
Oh, man, no. No, no, no. We've seen what he's done in the playoffs this year. I have not been impressed with what he's done with that team. I am all on the Jay Wright train. I want Jay Wright to coach the Silver and Black. He has retired from Villanova. He's no longer their coach over there. He's taking some sort of other gig with at the school. He says that he's recharging his batteries. And he had an interview done earlier this week where he basically just said outright that he's going to go back to the bench without actually saying that he's going to go back to the bench. He gave every indication of that he is not done coaching. He does well at the AT&T Center, man. He's a winner. Mm-hmm. He cut down the nets this year again at the AT&T Center when it came to winning the Elite Eight and going into the Final Four. That guy's a stud coach. I want Jay Wright. Snyder, not a fan, so I'm going to sell that one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As much as Snyder has that Spurs corporate knowledge with his time in Austin, you know, when it comes to winning time, that being the postseason, he hasn't gotten the job done at all with talent like Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, nothing. They have losing streaks in the playoffs. They've had three game losing streaks in the postseason. And, you know, they play blown leads. Then weren't they up like 3-1 on the Rockets or the Clippers 1 year and they just blew it, gotten swept. Yeah, I mean, Snyder, as much as he has regular season success, postseason success is not there for him. So I'm gonna pass on that. You know, just that record, man. That winning time record.
Dude, Donovan Mitchell got hurt the other day. Snyder had him on the court with 4:25 to go in the game. They were down 28. And it's just like you're not even taking care of your own players out there. No, I'd rather have Jay Wright.
Buy or sell that Devin Vassell will have his coming out party next season?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm going to sell it.
Really? Okay.
But I think he will have his big leap the following year. So a leap is coming. Devin Vassell is going to be out there. Going to be a 17 to 19 point per game guy. He is going to improve dramatically over the next couple of years. I just think that we're 2 years away, not 1 year away. What I find interesting about Devin Vassell is that when he came out of Florida State, I was a really big fan. And he was a lockdown defender defensively. And offensively, he was okay. But I liked him because he was a 3-and-D kind of guy. And what we've seen is that he has grown offensively, but defensively isn't the lockdown guy that he was when he was in college. He's good. He's fine defensively, but he's not as elite as he was when he played for Florida State. So I think he's going to get it, put it all together at some point. I don't know if it's next season. I would put money on it being 2 seasons from now.
Yeah, I'm buying that. I think he's going to have his coming out party next season. It was him that kept the Spurs somewhat afloat in the play-in tournament. It's been him that, in my opinion, is a deadlier two-way player, or has potential to be that. Even better, deadlier than DeJounte Murray. He can play multiple. He can play multiple positions, defend multiple positions.
What I want him to be is I want him to be 80% of what Kawhi Leonard was.
And I think he could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks like he focused so much on the offensive side of the ball because he's improved so much as a 3-point shooter. He was a decent 3-point shooter at Florida State, but you can tell that his stroke has gotten a lot smoother. He's a lot more confident shooting the three. I mean, he was knocking down 5 to 7 3-pointers a game down the stretch. So yes, offensively, he's taken it to another level. What I want to see is on a more complete level when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, because defensively, he is not as elite. I think right now, oddly enough, he's better offensively than he was defensively, but it was the reverse when he was in college.
In the offseason, ahead of this past season, he did make it clear, this was out of Las Vegas, that his focus for this season was getting better offensively, and I think he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This upcoming offseason, or this offseason we're in right now, I would like to see him get a little beefier, a little heavier, and work on a little bit more of the defensive end. You're right. But I think you add his will, his desire, you add the fact that we saw him take somewhat of a step forward which was good this season. And, you know, he's not afraid to tell it as it is in post-game chats, pre-game chats, very competitive. Remember, he was the one that put his teammates on blast early in the season, asking, what are we doing here, when they were like in the middle of some crazy losing streak. So
the trajectory is in the right direction, definitely in the right direction. I just think that 2 years from now, he's going to be special because, you know, you and I have talked in the past about the ceilings of a lot of the players. You know, what is DeJounte's ceiling? What is Keldon's ceiling? And DeJounte's ceiling, we knew that he had an extra level. I didn't think he was going to be this big of a leap. You know, I thought, yeah, he could become a guy that is out there getting 18-7-5, right? I thought, yeah, he could do that. I had no idea that DeJounte had it in him to go 21-9-8.5.
Yeah.
And the league in steals.
Yeah.
So he had a higher ceiling than what we thought. I've always said this, and a lot of people don't like this, but I've always thought that Devin Vassell has a higher ceiling than Keldon Johnson. That's not a knock on Keldon Johnson. I just think that there's more tools in the tool belt when it comes to Devin Vassell. And I think that he's going to really break off in a couple of years and be somebody special. And the thing is, again, Spurs have a team option on him this year, a team option on him at the end of next season as well. So that's another player that the Spurs need to save some money for in the future to re-sign.
We have one more buy or sell question for Michael Jimenez. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Look, if you've fallen off your New Year's resolution, Built Bar will help you get back in. So what are Built Bars? They're basically health bars that taste like a candy. It really doesn't feel like you're eating something healthy because they taste that good. They got a new puff flavor. It's basically a protein-infused marshmallow protein bar. Fluffy, marshmallowy. It's a treat. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. And they come in different flavors. Churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. This is going to be your new favorite, I promise you. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, 100% real chocolate, including the puff. They're low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They are better. Typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. You don't want that in your system. You want yourself a Built Bar right now. Go to Built.com right now. Scroll to the macros chart. You'll be blown away, I promise you. High protein, low cal, high fiber, low carb. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Look, candy bars, about 240 calories. Yeah, bad idea. 30 grams of sugar, you don't want that. Mint brownie, coconut almond, and new for this month, white chocolate coconut creams. Yeah, they're all delicious. New flavors coming out all the time. You'll find yourself your next favorite right now. And it will be delicious and it will be good for you. At Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make taste delicious first, then figure out how to make it healthy. Look, and they pull it off every time. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, 15% off your order by using that code. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's go to wrap up our talk with Michael Jimenez of San Antonio Sports Star and host of Halftime. One last buy or sell question for you. Buy or sell the Spurs make the playoffs next season?
Sell. I'm going to say that the Spurs will probably be in the same situation where they're in the play-in tournament. Keep in mind, to make the playoffs, you need to be in the top 6 to guarantee your way in. You are in the play-in tournament 7 through 10. I think the Spurs will be in the play-in tournament again next season. There's a lot of teams out there that are getting better at a faster rate than the Spurs. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that with the New Orleans Pelicans right now. You know, can the Lakers reload? They still have LeBron and his 30 points per game. It was fun watching the Lakers kind of crash and burn, but I don't think they're going to do that 2 years in a row. We're seeing teams get better around the Spurs. Sacramento is getting better. It's just one of those things where I think there's way too much competition right now for those top 6 spots. Getting into the play-in tournament, can the Spurs make their way into the top 8? I mean, it's possible, but I think the highest level that the Spurs can go as of right now is 7. Just being realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take a look at it, I think the only thing that would change my mind about that is if the Spurs make a splash either with a big trade for a good player, a starter, a stretch 4, or a better 5, I think the Spurs can then make a run. You know, if the Spurs somehow get a very, very, you know, whether it be Bridges or they get an Ayton or they get a LaVine or something like that, then the Spurs can make a run at a top six spot and guarantee a playoff berth just simply because they have the talent. But if we're just running out the same guys that we did last season, it's going to be incremental growth. And that means going from the 10 spot to maybe the 9 or the 8.
I'm right there with you. I agree. I think we're going to see another play-in chase thing, but I think they're about 2 years away from really, really, really making some strides as far as securing a 1-6 spot, because that's the key right there. We'll see if they could do that. But we're going to want to thank Michael Jimenez right here on Locked On Spurs. Michael, tell us why everybody should be checking out Halftime.
Well, because Halftime's an awesome show. San Antonio Sports Star, ESPN, AM 1250 and 103.3 FM. You know, sports, pop culture, nostalgia, we have a fun time. I do nostalgic movie reviews on Wednesday, movies that everyone has seen, but for some reason I haven't. I know people are calling me out, not believing that I haven't seen the movie Friday, but I watched for the first time this week. And before I let you go, I have a buy or sell question for you, Jeff Garcia.
Hit me with it.
Buy or sell? We need to have a Locked On Spurs with you, me, and James Pledger.
I'm going to buy that 1,000,000,000%. Let's make that happen next week.
Very nice. Let's do it, brother.
Let's do it. All right. He is Michael Jimenez. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs, where we get your favorite podcast. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. We're now on YouTube. Just go on YouTube and search Locked On Spurs. And we thank you for subscribing to Locked On Spurs and listening to Locked On Spurs first day each and every single day. So for Michael Jimenez, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.